Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Reporter. And joining us today is Gerard Michel, the chief financial officer for BioDell. The company trades on NASDAQ, and the ticker symbol is BIOD. Thanks for joining us today, Gerard.
It's my pleasure, Juan. Thanks for having me.
Great. Now, starting off, give us a brief history and overview of BioDell for some of our listeners here who are new to your story.
Sure. BioDell was started in 2003 by Dr. Solomon Steiner, who this is his third public company. It was founded really based on his platform knowledge and a team he brought along on how to manipulate protein chemistry with small molecules in a beneficial way, specifically to alter their PK/PD profile, their stability, their delivery properties. The company went public in 2005. We brought our lead product forward, which was a prandial rapid-acting insulin, and submitted it to the FDA at the end of last year. Our PDUFA date was October 30th, and unfortunately, we did receive a complete response letter, which led to obviously a significant retrenchment in the stock price. But we are still very excited about the prospects of the company. Our current CEO is Errol D'Souza, who has a breadth of both big pharma and biotech experience. He started Neurocrine. He also used to run R&D for Aventis in the U.S. Our chairman is Charlie Sanders, who used to be CEO and chairman of GlaxoSmithKline. So we have a fairly strong board. So that's BioDell in a nutshell.
Well, great. And so talk to us about the recent news from regarding the FDA and Lyngenta.
Yeah. So we submitted the NDA for Lyngenta in December of last year. It's a 505(b)(2) application, which means that it is a reformulation of an improved product, insulin, which everyone is quite familiar with. Under 505(b)(2), you don't need to repeat the entire development program of a new molecular entity. We brought that forward through phase 1, 2, and 2 pivotal phase 3s. Unfortunately, due to some, I would primarily say, some execution issues with the trial, we did not, per the FDA's analysis, hit our endpoints. We were obviously very disappointed with the complete response letter, but I think, there's an old saying, you can't fight City Hall, and that's our mindset right now, is it's best to try to determine a path forward. The product has tremendous potential. Prandial insulins, mealtime insulins, represent close to a $4 billion market in the U.S. The whole goal of insulin therapy is to try to replicate the normal physiological profile of what a non-diabetic individual has in response to meals, exercise, et cetera. And for a variety of reasons that it probably doesn't try to make sense to get into on this call, it's very difficult to do that with just regular human insulin injected, into your skin. So pharmaceutical companies have tweaked the molecule, usually genetically engineering, changing the molecule, so that some of these analog insulins give you very rapid spikes of insulin, where others give you longer, flatter basal responses. And what a type 1 diabetic or a type 2 diabetic tries to do is to take a basal shot once or twice a day to have a background rate, and then when they eat a meal, take a shot of a prandial insulin or a rapid-acting insulin to try to get a spike. Now, the spikes aren't actually fast enough right now to really replicate what happens in a normal, in a healthy individual, and you end up getting hyperglycemia and hypoglycemia, and that may lead to weight gain. There's a health risk to both of those things. So by taking regular human insulin, not a recombinant, genetically engineered insulin, and using our proprietary excipients, we've found a way to give a very rapid spike and come very close to replicating the normal first phase response, which, you know, and you can see the differences when you measure someone's glucose on a minute-to-minute basis. You can see that, you know, our formulations do keep people in the normal range to a greater extent, some of our studies have supported. But the goal for us now is to figure out how to, after this setback, how to move forward and get a product approved. And what we're focused on right now, as I'd like to say, is kind of making lemons out of lemonade. We have to redo our phase threes. So we're going to take this opportunity to try to improve some characteristics of the current formulation of Lingetta. It was associated with greater injection site tolerability issues than the comparator. And we've determined, we believe, how to greatly improve that. And so we think we can come up with a product that was better than what we had before. And our goal in 2011 is to identify which of a number of formulations we have on the table right now, which of those we want to move into later stage development. So this year will be a year of basically sorting through our portfolio of rapid-acting, ultra-rapid-acting formulations, putting some into early stage development and demand, and deciding out of that set which we want to move into later stage development. So it's a couple of years setback without a doubt, but we think at a $45 million valuation, which is where we are now, it represents, you know, quite an opportunity for investors.
Certainly, and so obviously you just posted your Q4 results, which saw a narrower loss from year over year. And so talk about a little bit more about some of the challenges here moving forward, and what are some of the company's specific strategies for overcoming some of them?
Well, I think, you know, the primary challenge really for us is to achieve some milestones in the near term so that, you know, we appreciate the stock price and, you know, move the ball forward without, you know, raising too much capital at a share price such as this. That's one challenge. And we are carefully focusing our spend so that we move the programs forward, which we think will have the greatest appeal, be recognized the most in the overall capital markets, and as well as from a partnership perspective. So we are tailoring our research right now really to put together a package that we think would be most compelling to a big pharma company, as well as to show some definite progress to the street. So I think the biggest challenge is to, you know, generate some data as quickly as possible on the finite amount of capital, you know, we have available. We have definite plans in place to do that. That was the goal of our call just the other day, was to, you know, level set with the investors, explain to them that, yeah, you know, we are in some ways starting a little further back than we wanted to be, and that we're choosing a formulation, but we think it's the right thing to do because we think we're going to come up with one or more formulations that the big farmers will find tremendously appealing.
Certainly. And so what would you say makes BioDel unique from some of the other players in the sector?
I think, you know, one of the most interesting things about us is we don't have, and this may sound hard to believe given we just did receive a CRL, but I think that was more from an execution perspective than anything else. But we have a lot lower efficacy and safety risk than a company that would be focused on new molecular entities. What we do is we take insulin and also another protein called glucagon, and we add excipients, generally excipients that are well known to be safe, and change their properties, change the overall properties of the protein in terms of PK, pharmacokinetics, pharmacodynamics, as well as stability. So you should have less of a risk of, you know, the bottom falling out. You know, indeed, in the case with Lingetta, we did receive a complete response letter, but it's not an issue that we can't overcome. It's a matter of executing the trials in a manner that the FDA needs to see and getting the right responses. So to a large extent, you know, with our business model, it's much more about blocking and tackling than taking a tremendous risk on the relative merits of a new molecule. The second thing would be, and I think this is worth noting, is we do have a relatively broad pipeline. Beyond just our ultra-rapid-acting programs, we have developed some better basal insulins, and as I mentioned earlier on in this call, those are the insulins that a type 2 diabetic takes and a type 1 diabetic takes that basically mimic the basal amount of insulin, the steady-state insulin your pancreas puts out. We've come up with basals with a better profile using existing insulins and insulin analogs than are currently on the market. We're not pushing those forward too hard right now because we're trying to conserve cash. We have unique formulations of a product called glucagon, which is not widely used because it is an incredibly unstable protein, but we've developed stable formulations that would allow both better rescue therapies than are on the market now, as well as it may even enable the production of a bi-hormonal pump, insulin pump, where you have both an accelerator and a brake in terms of trying to stay within the normal glycemic range. Those are just some of the programs we're working on in the lab. And again, all of these basically use well-known, approved, understood protein therapeutics. And what we're simply trying to do is improve them. And we improve them, obviously, in a way that's proprietary so we can, you know, yield the benefits. So there is a relatively deep pipeline. You know, our number one constraint now in terms of moving that forward is capital. And, again, we're trying to be very careful about, you know, picking our shots right now so we get the greatest return on our spend in the near term.
Certainly. And what are perhaps you could walk us through your background and experience, Gerard, and talk a little bit about the strength of the management team there at BIOD.
Sure. For myself, I actually a little unusual for a CFO. I have a graduate degree in microbiology. I've worked quite a few years for American Cyanamid and Wyeth in corporate development. I was a sales rep for a year, a product manager for a few years, international operations. I moved on and worked for Booz Allen and Hamilton doing strategy consulting for the life sciences area, ranging from medical device to biotech to big pharma. From there, I worked for a biotech company called MPS Pharmaceuticals as CFO and head of corporate development. Closed a number of large deals for them, raised about $500 million for that company. And I joined BioDell about 3 years ago in a similar capacity. Sol Steiner, who was the founder of the company and is currently CSO, he has started a number of companies, including the predecessor of Mankind. He developed that technology, the Emisphere technology that currently is what Afrezza is based on. So he has a long entrepreneurial history, a brilliant scientist. Errol D'Souza, who I mentioned before, is a very well-seasoned pharmaceutical executive. He started out as a scientist in neuroscience. He started Neurocrine. He also was with Synaptica when that was purchased by Lundbeck. He used to run R&D for Aventis in North America, so as a number of his accomplishments. He sits on a number of boards, so, you know, very seasoned individual. That's probably the core of the management team. Alan Krasner is the other individual I had mentioned. He is our chief medical officer. Alan is an endocrinologist, which makes a lot of sense for a company focused on diabetes. He was both a practicing endocrinologist and then worked for quite a few years at Pfizer, where he was a key member of the medical and clinical team working on Exubra. Now, obviously, that was not a resounding commercial success, but it was a resounding technical success in terms of getting a very, very novel delivery mechanism through the FDA, and the FDA was no slacker in terms of reviewing that program. So, you know, he and the team at Pfizer did a phenomenal job getting that approved. And he joined us about 2.5 years ago, and you know, really runs a solid overall development team that he's built up over the last couple of years.
Well, great. And so what are some of the goals and milestones that the team is hoping to accomplish here over the course of the next year?
Yeah, as I said before, I think, you know, the most important thing for us right now is to pick the right formulation. While it's very important to be efficient and quick in this industry, you know, every quarter you're a public company, you're burning money whether you move the ball forward or not. It's also important not to make hasty decisions, because sometimes, you know, once you make a decision, it's hard to undo. So our first goal is to be very thoughtful about picking the right formulation. As I mentioned before, we have, you know, quite a few formulations that we've created, mostly all built around the same, you know, set of excipients, with some modest changes that can make some fairly significant differences. We're screening through those right now in the preclinical setting, and running animal model studies as well as a number of in vitro assays and running some stability tests. What we want to do is come out with a formulation that has the same PK/PD benefit, is as fast as Lingetta was, is at least as stable because patients want to be able to walk around with this stuff at room temperature, and is as tolerable as what's out there right now. It can't sting. We believe we have some very likely candidates that will fit the bill. We are going to choose which of those to bring into the clinic in the first calendar quarter of next year. Hope to run a set of early stage trials, and by the end of next year, we hope to be prepared to move, you know, into later stage trials with a lead formulation. Exactly what a later stage trial means, I can't articulate. I think we need to learn a little more from the FDA, who we're meeting with in February, as well as look at the results of our preclinical and clinical work before we define the precise path forward.
Certainly. And when it comes to investors and the financial community, Gerard, do you believe that the BioDel story, your message, and ultimately the company's upside potential are completely understood and appreciated by the financial community?
Well, probably not. I think it's fairly common for investors to overreact when there's some negative news from a company, and when we face a binary event such as a PDUFA date, you know, with the FDA, you know, people. Often you find people flying from the stock if the news is negative, which is really what we face. So if you look at our current market cap, which is about $45 million, you know, I think a company that has a number of assets that address, you know, multi-billion dollar markets, having a market cap of $45 million probably doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense. So I think, you know, a lot of investors have gotten out of the stock because they were disappointed. But I think at this point, although it may be cold comfort to existing investors, at this point it does represent a tremendous opportunity, in my opinion, out there, in that we probably don't need to demonstrate a heck of a lot to get this stock to appreciate considerably. You know, our job right now is you know, twofold. First is to move the ball forward, execute upon the plan which I outlined. And secondly, you know, try to communicate this plan to the investors, and that's what we tried to do on the call yesterday. We tried to be as transparent as possible, let the investors know that there is a bit of work we have to get done in terms of choosing a new formulation. They can't expect us to run out and go into a phase three immediately, which I know is the hope of some investors. But, you know, the best way to deal with the investment community is to be as straightforward and as transparent as possible. You know, that's what we intend to do. And hopefully, you know, as we produce and execute against the plan and deliver on our goals and continue to communicate as straightforwardly and as transparently as possible, you know, that message will get out there and the valuation will reflect it.
Well, great. And so once again, joining us today is Gerard McKell, the Chief Financial Officer for BioDel Incorporated. The company trades on NASDAQ. Ticker symbol is BIOD. Is currently trading at $1.68 a share. As mentioned, the market cap is close to $45 million. And so before we conclude, Gerard, to recap some of your key points here, why do you believe that investors should consider BioDell as a good long-term investment opportunity?
Well, I think, as I said before, we are developing products in a low-risk manner in terms of using approved protein therapeutics. We are addressing very large markets, you know, prandial and basal insulin market, for starters. And I think, you know, the way the stock has reacted to the CRL, which is understandable, it probably has been a bit of an overreaction, and I think it represents tremendous opportunity, you know, at these prices.
Well, we certainly look forward to continuing to track the company's growth as well as report on your upcoming progress. And I'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us today, Gerard, and update our investors on BioDell.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for the time.